Well, this morning, felt like as I was preparing this week that the Lord said to go back. And about 4 years ago or so, I gave a whole series of messages about childlike faith. And I felt like he wanted us to revisit childlike faith this morning. And you'll see why. And it ties in with sort of where we're at in the year and what God has in store for us. And so just for a little refresher, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is it's a substance that you can hold on to, right? So it's actually real. It's tangible. And that's an assurance that we have. And it's a truth that you can count on without evidence, which is conviction, right? There's this sense that you can count on it's going to come to pass. You can hold on to it as if it was solid in your hand. It's a real substance. And so you have both the assurance and the conviction in terms of when you have faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, right? How are you going to get more faith? It comes one way. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, right? So we grow in faith by hearing the word of Christ. What does he say? Right? You have the whole scripture, right? If you have your red letter edition, right? You know exactly what Jesus said, right? And so that's in your scriptures, but there's also the Rhema word, right? We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so he'll give you downloads of what you're faced with a conundrum. You don't know what to do. What does Jesus say? What's the Holy Spirit saying to do? And you can listen to what he says. And then where faith comes involved or comes into play, you have to believe what he's saying. Right? Sometimes that requires action. Sometimes that requires waiting. Right? And so there's a challenge there. Faith is holding on to what Jesus says without evidence. And once what he says manifests or comes to pass, the need for faith ceases. You don't need faith anymore. So once you have, right, you've been waiting for the baby, right? My wife and I, we were trying to get pregnant for several years, and doctor said we could never have a baby. And then we had Josiah, and we could hold the baby in our hand. I didn't need faith for a baby anymore once I had Josiah in my hand, right? So there was no more need for faith. What's childlike faith? Look your Bibles. You'll never find it. It's not there. It doesn't exist, right, in the scriptures. It's not a biblical term, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, it says, Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So there's something about children. There's something about how children interface with life, not becoming childish, right? But there's something about how children sort of they have a childlike innocence or trust. When Jesus says it, I believe it. It's that simple. Done. So he says the baby's going to come. The doctor says you can't have a baby. Am I going to listen to the doctor or am I going to listen to Jesus? It makes no sense to listen to Jesus, right? The doctors, they know what they're doing. They have the scanners and they have these types of things. They can look and examine and they can do all that kind of stuff. And yet Jesus said, we're going to have a baby. I have four kids. The doctor said I couldn't have a baby. Who was right? Jesus, right? That's where faith comes into. Childlike faith is when Jesus says it, you just believe it, no matter what other people say, right? Sometimes even other believers will come in and say, I think you're off, right? But you heard it from Jesus, and so there's a sense. Obviously, we need a council of witnesses. Like, we need people around us that are going to help guide us. But the reality is sometimes he gives us something crazy. He tells Mary, you're going to have a baby without a husband. She says, be it unto me. Does that take any faith? She got a baby. She tells Zechariah, right? You're going to have a baby. He didn't believe it. He didn't have any childlike faith. And he shut up his lips till he had the baby, right? You just never know what God's going to do. But the reality is simple childlike faith rests in that Jesus says it, I believe it. Sometimes you'll have a greater role to play, right? So one of the things you guys know about me, and I think many people in our house were contending for, is that blind eyes would be open here in Sonoma County. And so we feel like we've heard some promises that that's going to happen. I don't feel like I personally have not heard a deadline, like it's going to happen by this date and this year. I haven't heard that. Maybe some of you have. But the other side of it that Jesus said is, when I ask him, so what's my role? He says simply, pray for every blind person you see. And so that's part of my faith. If I say I'm believing that the blind are going to see in Sonoma County, and then I pass a blind person and I don't stop for that person and pray, or when I'm in Safeway or whatever like that, right? Then I'm not partnering with my part. Does that make sense? How can Jesus heal the blind if he wants to heal them through me? And I'm not praying for the blind, right? It doesn't work. You get the picture, right? So simple childlike faith is, Jesus said it, I'm believing blind eyes are going to be opened in Santa Rosa or Sonoma County. So then he said, my role is to pray. So I have to partner with that role. And that's a growth walk too, right? Crazy story, I'll tell you this just as an aside. I was in Safeway the other day because I'm still wrestling with this. And you guys will appreciate this because you're going to learn Spanish. But so I'm in Safeway and I see a man enter Safeway going down the other aisle and he is blind. He has his cane and he's going up Safeway. I cannot imagine being by yourself blind in a supermarket. How would you know where anything is? But the reality is, here he comes. And he's going down the aisle and he's headed toward the bread section. And so I follow him because I have this mandate on my life. And so I go and I ask him, I see that you're blind and can I pray for you? And he basically says in Spanish that he has no clue what I'm saying. Right? And so here I am in this situation. I'm trying to be obedient, but I can't speak Spanish. I can't show signs with my hands or whatever like that to say, hey, you know, I want to pray for your eyes. Right? And I was like, God, why did you do that? And I just think, God, it's an interesting conundrum for me because I think God's saying, will you still go? And I think there's something about that. And then he also, God knows one of my desires is to learn Spanish. And I've done different things to try to do it, but I've never really been faithful with it. I haven't pressed into it. And so it's just a reminder of, hey, is that still on your heart? There's something about it. And so I think God plays with us in the midst of our yeses, if that makes sense. And so all that to say, that was an aside, but okay, I think you get the point.
So what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
I released a blessing over him, and he left the store blind. And you know what? I saw him. This is fun. I've never seen this man before, but 2 days after that, I was driving down Guerneville Road, near that same Safeway, and I saw him walking on the street. And I know he's still blind because he still had his cane. Does that make sense? But it prompted me to keep praying for him. And so I think it's interesting. Even that is not a coincidence. There's a reason why God allows you to see somebody or to have interactions with somebody over a repeated period of time. He's doing something. And he's definitely doing something in me, but I think he's doing something in our house that he's saying, will you press for it? Will you say yes in the moment? What did it hurt me to go up to this guy? Nothing, right? He couldn't even see me. No, I'm kidding. All right. What are you believing Jesus for in 2019? What are you believing him for this year? What did you feel like he said would happen this year in your life or in the lives of others or in your business or in your community? At the beginning of the year. Like sometimes we take the beginning of the year, we sort of say, God, what do you have? What are you going to do? And he'll highlight something. Or maybe something will jump out of the scriptures where you're like, you know, you've read the scriptures a lot. And then all of a sudden, 1 year, this thing, verse jumps off the page. And you know, this is the year that I'm going to start seeing that happen. And you've been holding on to that this whole year. Maybe some of those things have to do with healing. Maybe it's your own personal physical healing. You felt like God said, this is the year you're going to get healed of this, right? Or maybe it's financial breakthrough. You felt like this was going to be the year that everything was going to open up and those places of abundance were going to start recognizing. And you sit here here in December and it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it's relational restoration, right? Maybe with you and your spouse, or maybe it's somebody in your family, or maybe it's with a parent or a child, right? You felt like this was going to be the year that was going to come to pass. Or a change in job situation, change in housing situation, right? Dreams fulfilled, right? We all have dreams. Those kinds of things. And so you would look at in the natural, you would say it's the 11th hour, right? It's December 8th. And Jesus has had a lot of days to bring this to pass, but it's December 8th. Is it too late? Right? Logic or human reasoning would say that, you know, it's already December. If Jesus hasn't done it by now, I probably didn't hear him correctly, and it's probably not going to happen. Childlike faith partners with Jesus' words that nothing's impossible with God. And so as you sit here on December 8th, childlike faith would say there's still 23 days left for Jesus to come through on what he said. How long did it take Jesus to turn water into wine? What about how long did it take him to heal the blind man at Jericho? How long did it take Jesus to cleanse the man from leprosy? To bring the widow from Nain's son back to life? How long did it take? Seconds, right? Minutes, maybe. I don't know. How long did it take Jesus to restore the man with the legion back to his right mind? What nobody else could do, but nobody else wanted to deal with. In an instant, this man was restored to life. How long did it take Jesus to be raised from the dead? 3 days, right? So at least if you get to December 28th, then you know what I'm saying? Like, childlike faith would say, there's still plenty of time left in this month for Jesus to do anything. That's childlike faith. It would say, by my calculations, there's still plenty of time. Now we got to look at an APA. Do you guys know what an APA is? Paul does. He's the only one in the room. Authentic personal assessment. We need to take an authentic personal assessment. Let me explain what I mean. Is there any step or direction that the Holy Spirit has given you or me, right, in regards to this promise or word that I haven't done or followed through on? So as you sit here on December 8th, right, so you heard a word from God or you had a promise from God, from Jesus. This was going to happen during the course of the year. And at some point in the year, you felt like you heard, do this. And I'm going to give you some scenarios. And maybe you did it for a little while, or maybe you never did it. And the authentic personal assessment is not meant to release guilt and shame. That's not what it's about, right? Because the Holy Spirit's always about releasing fullness of life. But if we're never authentic or real with ourselves, right, we're missing it, right? So sometimes you need to have a hard check with, what's my part in this process? And so if there has been things like that, then he's going to show you today what to do. But but you want to be aware of it. And so let me give you some scenarios and it'll make more sense. So say you felt like this was the year that I felt like I heard Jesus say that he was going to give me a new job situation. And somewhere in the course of the year, you heard him say that you're supposed to either quit your current job, write your resume, or go back to school. And you haven't done it. So you sit here today and you're like, but I want the new job. He said I was going to get a new job. And in February, he said, you need to quit your job because you got to let go and before he can give you some. That's the theme of this morning, right? Right. So again, if that's the case where you heard something along the way, then you just got to go back to that point and you just got to do it. Another scenario, spiritual health. I feel like this was the year that you would become more spiritually alive. And Jesus prompted you at some point in the year to regularly worship and praise him, but you haven't. Or you did it for a little while, right? So you got in your living room and you praised him a little while, maybe 3 days, and then you stopped because you didn't see any change. But he didn't say, praise me for 3 days. He gave you a direction of how to partner with the promise that he gave you. And then you stopped. So what do you do? Start again. Healing. You felt like this was the year that you're healing, for your healing, and you felt prompted to go, say, to the healing rooms in Bethel, right? And you haven't made that trip. Or to forgive somebody who hurt you. I just heard a testimony about blindness in Oregon. A woman went into one of the healing rooms up in Oregon, and she was missing an eye in one eye, and the other eye was going blind, and was pretty much blind. And she goes into the healing rooms, and so they, you know, they do an interview. And they talk to the lady, and basically it sort of comes to pass where they just had a sense from the Holy Spirit, this person needs to forgive somebody. And so they ask, is there anybody connected to your condition that that you need to forgive? And the woman just gets irate, and she says, yes, there is, and I will never forgive that person because they caused this. And so they kept sort of talking to the woman about it. And like, and by the end of their session, the woman came to a place where she was willing to forgive the person. And they prayed for her eyes. And she started to see a little bit of white lights in her eye. Not the eye with that was missing, but in the other eye. And but that was all that happened in the moment. And they this prayer or healing ministry, they meet twice a month. And so they said, come back in 2 weeks. And let us know what happens. So 2 weeks go by, and all of a sudden there's a commotion in the foyer, and the same woman had come back, and she was completely healed in that one eye, and in her other eye, she had an eye. And they were like, wow, this is amazing. And they said, that's a miracle. And she said, yeah, it is, because I got healed in my one eye, so I was able to find my prosthetic eye and put it back in. Is that a crazy story? So they said, well, we're going to partner for you for the creative miracle that God would actually give you a new eye. And it's amazing. That just happened in Oregon. It's really close to California. So say you felt like you were supposed to forgive somebody and you just haven't yet. We've been talking a lot about forgiveness if you're visiting with us over the past couple weeks. It can be really hard. But often it's the key to your breakthrough in healing. Last one, financial breakthrough. You sense this was the year for greater financial abundance. And at some point in the year, say July, you felt like the Holy Spirit said, stop eating out as much. Like that's a strategy. Or give to someone generously like Dustin. And you haven't done it yet. Right? what do you do? Right? So do you... These are just fictitious scenarios, but in reality, sometimes our lack of obedience to take either the first step or one of the steps in the process that we hear from him, it hinders Jesus from fulfilling the promise, right? And again, if you do your APA and you realize that you haven't followed through on something, I thought this was funny. He gave me this. He said, don't be like Judas and go buy a field. Don't be like Peter and run away in shame. Just repent. Whatever he said to do, just go back and do it. Start doing it. It's that simple, right? You remember the guy who was on the cross next to Jesus? There were two. Remember the one who recognized who Jesus was and asked him to come and be in his kingdom? It was the 11th hour. It's not too late. In my experience, God's more concerned with our hearts and our connection to him. And like, so do we trust him? Do we really trust him when he says something? Or do I have a correct view of his heart towards me? Right? Do I see the Father, our Heavenly Father, how he really is, how he really feels towards me? Do I have a correct view of my own identity? Those are things God really, really cares about. And often I think we are more concerned about our circumstances and sort of what's hard about our lives, right? So many of us, if we want to get a new job, it's because we don't really like our current job, right? Or we want a new housing situation because our current housing situation is really hard. Or we wish our relational problems, they would just go away because they're no fun, right? And yet God... He knows that the reality is that, you know, we think if this one thing would just change, everything's going to get better. And most likely, more often than not, even if that one thing changes, your life is still not incredible. Because it has more to do with the heart than the circumstance. And I think the truth is Jesus, he's the master builder. And he's building us. He's doing something in us individually and corporately. And he knows that our circumstances, they're just temporal. Everything you're facing right now that you wish was different, it's just temporal. It's just moments. It may feel like it's really big and huge and long, but it's not. and that your heart and your connection to him is eternal. That's what's lasting. And so Jesus, he leads us on a process of healing and wholeness, and he utilizes our current circumstances as needed to transform our lives, right? And if we can remember throughout the process, he's always good and always faithful, and that his delight's always on towards you, then you can rest. So childlike faith, it's yielded to Jesus. You just put yourself before him and say, here I am, right? Just like Mary, we preached about that a couple weeks ago. It says yes, even when what you are hearing doesn't make sense or doesn't seem related to your current condition or conundrum, right? So you guys know I shared the testimony from years ago about our financial situation when we were facing some debt and we felt like the word that I heard from the Lord is to rest in my delight. Like, God, that doesn't really help me with my debt. But it wasn't like go get a second job or go beg on the street corner. It was rest in my delight. And then thank me for every goodness that happens in your life that you see. And there was no promise of when the financial debt was going to be gone. And yet the reality is that he took care of all of that debt. It's all wiped out. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. And he shifted something in me as his son, right? As a child of a living God, that something powerful about resting in his delight has shaped who I am now. And the finances was just one little piece that he utilized. That's the situation we were facing. He utilized that to teach me something bigger that will affect me for the rest of my life. It'll affect how I do ministry for the rest of my life, how I will influence people. It's so much bigger than just one little financial thing that I felt like so huge, this mountain that I'm facing. I think if we continue to say yes, even when the strategy doesn't seem to be making a difference, right? So to go back to that situation, you know, it was probably 4 years or so before all of our debt got wiped out. And it was a process. He told me, I'm going to wipe it out. I had that promise. And he gave me a strategy, but he didn't say when. So it wasn't like this year it's going to happen. It was just, will you trust me? And as you go through that process with the Lord, even if it's at the beginning of the year, he gives you a word. Sometimes it's hard when you're 8 months in to say, I'm going to still keep on doing that strategy. Because you don't feel like anything's changing. And the reality is everything's changing. Because you're partnering with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he gave you something. He doesn't give you stuff to do for no good reason. There's something he's after in our hearts, right? There's something he's doing. He's building. He's all the way over here, 3 steps away, 3 decades away. And we're here and we think, okay, this is it. But he's already planning. This has to happen. So this happens, this happens, this happens. So we're ready for it when we're over here. If my heart doesn't change here, I'm never going to be able to handle what happens over here. I just can't. And so do we trust him? Childlike faith is yielded to Jesus, and it says yes, even when the risk seems too big. Like sometimes he calls us to do something that feels so enormously out of our range of what we feel comfortable with. Authentic childlike faith is grounded in the fear of the Lord, and it's completely free of the fear of man. Like think of Joshua and Jericho. Here's his big first military campaign. And God tells him to walk around the city. Like, you think he ever worried about what the other Israelites thought of him? I do. Gideon, jars and trumpets. Solid battle plan, right? But Gideon said yes. And they did it. They followed it. And everything changed. Think about Peter with the fish and the coin for taxes. Like Peter was a fisherman, but Jesus said, go fish. First fish you catch is going to be a coin. Did Peter have to do anything? Yeah, he had to partner with the word. He had to actually go catch the fish. Do you think he believed the whole time that the coin was going to be in the fish? I don't know. Maybe. Right? But there it was. And they were able to pay their taxes. Right? Think of Ananias and Saul. Right, so here's Ananias, and he knows that Saul is a Christian killer. And the Holy Spirit comes to him and says, yeah, I want you to go pray for him. And Ananias has to wrestle. He knows the voice of the Lord, obviously, because he could hear exactly where to go, right? That kind of thing. Right? It's an interesting process. But he had to risk his life because Jesus said to do it. And we know the end of the story. Many of us would not be in this room today if that situation didn't happen. Right? Childlike faith is willing to pay whatever price is necessary to partner with Jesus to bring heaven to earth. The other day I had an opportunity to partner with Jesus, and some of you guys know we've been praying for a gentleman by the name of Mark, and he's wrestling with a debilitating disease, ALS. And it was the night before Thanksgiving, I got a text from him, and he was describing the report from the doctor, and it's just a bad report. And so I woke up on Thanksgiving morning, and I was just praying, hanging out with the Lord, and I felt like the Lord, I heard him say, I'm going to touch Mark today. And so I said, oh, really? How are you going to do that? You know? He says, through you, you're going to go give him a hug. And I'm like, on Thanksgiving Day, you want me to go give Mark a hug? And I know Mark, but I don't know him well. It's not like we're close buddies. I've been to his house. Anyway, and I felt like he said, yeah, because he needs to know today, one, that he's loved, and two, that he's valuable. And so I want you to give him a hug to show him that he's loved. And I want you to speak to him the truth that your life is better for having known him, for having him to be a part of your life. Your life is richer. And so so I did. And I'm glad he was home. And it was a powerful encounter. And he's still not healed today. Like, and God didn't say he was going to be healed. He said, I'm just going to touch him. And he was doing something. And I had a choice. Is that God or is that just me waking up thinking about turkey, right? Like, is should I do it? Like, what did I have to risk? I had to risk some time away from my family. And potentially my in-laws were in town. And so maybe they think it's a little silly for me to go do stuff like that. It didn't cost me anything. And yet I've been believing God is going to heal Mark Stone. That I feel like I've heard from him. I'm holding a promise. I haven't heard that it's going to happen by the end of 2019. So that's where it doesn't really fit with this sermon. But the reality is I have a promise from God. And at every step of the way, I feel like I've had to be obedient. Am I obedient to whatever I heard God said my part is? Right? So when I feel like I'm supposed to pray for him or send him a text or send him an email or go see him or have him come for prayer, I've been faithful to do it. You see what I'm saying? It's as simple as that. That's all we can do. Do I believe God cares about Mark? Definitely. Do I believe Jesus can heal Mark? Instantly. Right? Has it happened yet? Nope. I can't control all that. But what I can do is whatever he tells me to do as he leads me. That's all we can do. Right? It's the same when it's something for yourself. You can only partner with what he shares with you to do. And so one of the questions to ask again is, how yielded are you this morning to him? Will you do whatever Jesus calls you to do, knowing that it will often take you out of your comfort zone? Right? Again, back to the beginning. We often want the prize. We don't necessarily want to go on the journey that takes us all over the place or risks our reputation or makes us look silly or that kind of stuff. That seemingly often in the scriptures that happens. So Jesus is the same, or God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's probably going to happen, right? And the reality is that if you look at everybody like Joshua and Gideon, I don't think they would have traded it at the end of the day. You think Ananias wished that Jesus didn't call him on that day? It's a pretty good day. Pretty interesting thing to tell your family. Now, some of you, if you do an APA, authentic personal assessment, and you're like, yeah, I've done everything that he's told me to do, but your promise still hasn't happened, right? Then what I felt like God was saying is simply three things. One is rest. It's just rest in his delight. And then the second was to wait, right? There's still 23 days. And then listen, Because maybe there's something that he would have you do between now and the end of the year that will help bring about the fulfillment and the fullness of your promise. Does that make sense? So what we're going to do to close is, again, just to ask the question, is what are you believing Jesus for in 2019? And so just, maybe it's more than one thing. Maybe it's just one thing. Maybe it's nothing, right? And so, but maybe there's something else. There's a promise that you've been waiting for, you're holding on to, right? But there's not a timetable on it. So for this morning, just hold it. So if you can envision it, maybe you need to close your eyes to do that. Some people don't need to. You just hold it. And then we're gonna pray. And I'm going to say a few prayers, and then we'll do a quick moment, take a pause and do a quick APA, right? Give you a chance to do an authentic personal assessment around that specific thing. If you have more than one, try to just pick one for right now, and then you can do the rest at home, because it's probably too much to try to do all at one time. And then we'll close in prayer after that. So, Jesus, I thank you for who's in the house today and who's going to listen to this message on the podcast. And because you knew it. You knew they would be here, and you crafted this word for them. And you know the promises and the words that they're holding on to for this year. And you really, really care about them. And you also care about the things that they're holding on to. And what they're waiting for. And what they're expecting and hoping for and longing for. And I pray today that they would remember the truth of who you are, that you're good and you're faithful, that your love is always on towards them, and that nothing's impossible with you. And so as they sit and they hold it today, Jesus, we're just going to pause and give each person just a chance to just reflect. Is there any step along the way that you called them to do something to partner with what you're doing towards the goal or towards the promise that they haven't done yet? And so we're just going to pause. We're going to listen real quick. Just between you and the Lord. Yeah, and so Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're gentle in terms of your conviction. And so for anybody who feels like, oh, he's highlighting that I didn't do this, I pray for grace on those individuals in the moment today that they wouldn't be like Judas or Peter, right? That they would be able to renounce any guilt or shame. And I just do that with authority as the senior leader. We just renounce any shame off of anybody who feels like, yeah, they missed it or they blew it. We just renounce that in Jesus' name. And then we just celebrate the truth that today's the day to pick it back up and do it. And whatever it is. And so I praise you for that. And then I pray for those who sat and they felt like, yeah, I've done everything that I felt like he heard me to do, I was supposed to do. And they can just rest, release a grace to rest and a peace to wait. And then a greater clarity in their spiritual hearing. If there's anything that you would have them do between now and when the promise is fulfilled. Because we want to partner with you. Yeah, and so Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who honors his promises, and that when you say something, we can count on it, we can take it to the bank, and we can rest in that truth. I thank you for a fresh release of childlike faith today. Yeah, if we ever start growing weary, that we would go back to those questions. How long did it take for you to change water into wine? How long did it take for you to heal the blind man at Jericho? How long did it take for you to raise the widow from Nain's son from the dead, right? some pretty amazing, incredible things happen in an instant. This thing I'm facing is probably not too hard for you. And so we ask for a fresh, just breathe on it, Holy Spirit, our faith, that you would breathe on our faith and that we'd be able to rest in the truth of who you are and walk in the fullness of who we are. And we just celebrate all that you're going to do between now and the end of the year. And we just, we lay these 23 days at your feet. And it's going to be fun to hear the testimonies of what you do in the lives of these individuals and in my life as well. And so we ask that you would seal this word and that it would be for your glory. You'd let anything that's sort of just chaff to blow away and the solid gold to settle. And that's what we would take home today. And so we just pray a grace on each person as they go in this week, as they continue to hold things before you and listen to your voice. Holy Spirit, we celebrate what you're doing that has so much more to do with who they are and the relationship and their eternal connection to you than it does with the current circumstance and situation they're facing. Give us your perspective, even in that. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.